Parshas Vayakel starts with three areas that a person has to sanctify in his existence. The first is place. That's Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered them all together into one place. Gathering is a function of place. And then there is the Kedusha of doing. What you do in this world should be sanctified. The place where you are should be sanctified. The actions that you do should be sanctified. And the last one is time. And that's the second thing was that the Rav Moshe said, these are the things that God commanded to do, which is the building of the Mishkan. Actions have to be sanctified. And then right after that is the laws of Shabbos, which is time. Time has to be sanctified. So there's Kedushas HaMakom, the Kedushas HaAsiyah, and Kedushas HaZman. Those are the three areas that a person has to sanctify in this world. Now it's interesting that the first work, creative activity, that's mentioned in the building of the Mishkan was the actual giving of the Nedava, the giving of the materials to build the Mishkan. What malacha was that? What malacha is, there's no malacha of giving charity. So which malacha was that? Carrying. Okay, the Gemara learns from here. The Yerushalmi even more than our Gemara, that the issur of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabin, from carrying to the from the private domain to the public domain, and then vice versa, from the public domain bringing into the private domain, was learned from the Nedava of Shabbos. Okay, it says, what's it called, that the people brought their donation from their homes, and they brought it to the Gizborim who were in Machane Levia. The donations were received in the place where the Leviim were, Moshe Rabbeinu was, and that was Rishus HaRabin. Everybody was there. That was a public thoroughfare. Everybody was by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was out in the public thoroughfare. So they brought their donations, carried them from the private domain to the public domain. And then the Gizborim, the ones who were appointed to take these donations and give them to the people who needed them to build the Mishkan, took them from the public domain, brought them back into the Lishka, into the offices where they were stored, which is the private domain. So we have the idea of, and it's interesting, that, and that's called malacha. Because it says, HaMalacha HaYisadayim. The malacha was enough, meaning the bringing of these nedavas is called a malacha, and carrying on Shabbos is called a malacha. We'll get to in a second what kind of malacha it is. Why is that called a creative activity? But it's interesting, Gemara Shabbos starts with the laws of carrying. And it has the example of an oni, a poor person standing outside with a basket, looking for alms, and he puts his basket inside, and the rich man takes the bread, puts it in the basket, and he takes it out, he brings it in, all the different kinds of carrying from one domain to another. And all of the commentaries are bothered, why is this the first thing to discuss on Shabbos? There's so many other malachas, this is not one of the first malachas. And there are all different reasons given. But I think this is a reason, because the first malacha, where do we learn the 39 malachas from? From the Mishkan. The first malacha that was done in preparation for the Mishkan was none other than carrying, bringing the Nedava. So since the Mishkan started with the halachas, with the malacha of carrying, that's the first one mentioned in Shabbos. And also, since there's another reason why it gives the example, therefore, of a rich man outside and a poor man inside. Because it's clear that the donation to the Mishkan was not something that the person gave for the sake of the Mishkan. And there's a Medrash that says that some of the precious stones that they brought, where did they get them from? They were in the middle of the desert. They were slaves in Egypt. Where did they get the precious stones? It said the stones fell with the man in the morning. Now, it's absurd. God didn't have to give them the stones and tell them to bring it. He could have made it come directly to the Mishkan, right? He didn't have to give it to them. And so, return to Srufus HaRosh, it once says Rabbi Akiva, if God loves poor people so much, why doesn't he support them? Why does he make us support them? Why does he make rich people support them? Rabbi Akiva said, because surely God can support the poor people. He wants to give us the merit. That's the purpose. Right? It's absurd to think God gives the rich man extra money as a trust to give to the poor. Give it to the poor, forget, cut out the middleman. Give it to him directly. No, but it's not for the sake of the poor man. God could take care of the poor man. But God wants the rich man to be able to have that merit. And that's why it says in Megillas Rus, when she reported who gave her the food that she had that day, whose field she was in, she said, "Ha'ish asher asisi mo hayom shmo Boaz." The man I did for today, his name is Boaz. What did she do for him? She took his money. He did for her. But no, more, the Gemara says, more than the rich man does for the poor man does for the rich man. Because the rich man only gives the poor man money, which God could give him. But the poor man, what? Asisi imo. No, no, no. Imo means I did for him, or with him, whatever, yeah. Because he gave me, I did him a favor. I gave him that schus. But she did it by taking what he gave. She gave him a schus together with what he gave her. Okay. In any case, so therefore, if you learn from the Mishkan, you see clearly that giving tzedakah is not for the sake of the poor person, because it's absurd to think that giving, God says, you know, I want you to build a Mishkan, but you have a few diamonds, gold, silver to spare, I could use it to build the Mishkan. God could have created the Mishkan. He needed our donations. It's obvious that the purpose was for our sake, not for the Mishkan's sake. So therefore, the Sechah Shabbos starts with the Malacha of carrying, because that's the first Malacha that was done in the Mishkan. And since that Malacha of giving to the Mishkan made it clear what the perspective on tzedakah is, so it hints to that in the Mishnah by making the rich man and the poor man being the people who collected for the Mishkan, and the rich man the one who donated to the Mishkan. Right? Obviously, God's not a poor man. So it must be not for the sake of the poor man, it must be for the sake of the rich man. Okay. And Tosus says this is called the Malacha Garua. Of all the works, this is like the most flimsy of all of them. Why? Because all work, creative activities, better word. Malacha means a creative activity. Change the object with fire, with harvesting, with making it better, making it into something, shearing it. There's a change. There's something, usually a permanent change. Here, there's no change. There's only a change of place. But that in itself is a malacha. That's a creative activity. First of all, because all commerce works like that. You produce things in the private sector, and then you transport them through the public sector to another private sector to get them where you need. You produce them in a factory, and then you bring them to where people can benefit from them in their private homes. And it has to go through the public sector to be transported from one place to another. So all creative activity really depends on transportation. Right? So that's one idea. But there's a deeper idea. And that is, it's a tremendous malacha. It's a creative activity to change the venue, to change the place of something. To know what things belong in the private sector, which things belong in the public sector, when to transport them from one sector to another, and when to leave them. And that's why it says, it describes the wisdom of the people who were involved in building the Mishkan at this point. They didn't do anything yet. But you need tremendous wisdom for two things. One is to know where something belongs. If it belongs private or it's public. Some things remain private. Some things should always be public. Some things should go back and forth. Take from the public to the private. Take from the private to the public. And, that needs a lot of thought. That in itself, it says, was part of the atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Just knowing what to take and give, and what not to give. They took their private things and gave it to the Egel. They invested in a public sin. There they should have left their money privately, and not brought it out to the public. So knowing when to contribute, when not to contribute, what to contribute to, is also an important thing. And when you give it to the wrong thing, giving it to the right thing is an atonement. Now it also says another thing here. It says that the way that they gave to the Mishkan is they gave more than was necessary, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to make an announcement, don't bring any more, enough. Now the building of the Mishkan is similar to the creation of the world. In fact, the 39 malachas that went into building the Mishkan are our idea of building the world. God's creation of the world, right, is similar to our creation of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was like a little microcosm. And it even looked like a planetarium with stars in the sky, and each thing corresponded to a different thing in the world. It was like a small little universe, the Mishkan. And the 39 malachas that go into building the world are the 39 malachas that we put into the Mishkan. That's our concept of building the world. So we refrain from that to show that God created the world and refrain from building it on Shabbos. Now, when the world was created, it says, so the Mishkan corresponds to a lot of things about the world. Now I'll tell you what the Kli Yoker says. Very interesting. Two things. When the world was created, it says that it was expanding and expanding till God said enough. And that's why God is called Shakai. Sha'omar li'olomo dar. He said enough. This patterns itself, echoes the scientific idea of a big bang, and the world then started to expand until the Rabbanu Shalom put limits on it and told it enough expansion, no more expansion. Okay? Okay. But there's a limit to where it can expand. And the Kli Yoker says, so, and that's why how the Mishkan was built. They opened up for donations until, and it kept expanding until Moshe said enough. No more. Same exact thing. And the simple idea is to teach us, why did God create the world like that? To teach us that sometimes you have to say enough. You can't spill over into areas that aren't proper. You have to know how to contain yourself. The world is going to be a place where you can expand into areas that you shouldn't be expanding into, and you're the one who has to say enough. That's one idea. But there's another idea. And that is that the first thing a person has to learn to do in this world is to make limits, to create limits. That's what you teach children also. You give them limits. That where they know where they can function and where they can't. What's the red lines? What are the limitations? What are the boundaries? You have to create boundaries. And therefore, there's always a balance between two midos. God created the world with two midos. Yud-kei, vav-kei. What's it called? Midos harachamim. The mida of, what's it called, of mercy and chesed, which is unbridled giving, where you can expand without any limits. And then the midah of Elohim, of Din, where everything has its limitations and its specific boundaries, and you have to hold back. You have to control yourself. So there's these two midos that need to be balanced. And therefore it says that when God created the world, He created with midos harachamim, which is yud-kei vav-kei, and midos hadin, which is Elohim. Now think about it. Who built the Mishkan? Bezalel, who came from which tribe? Yehuda. Yehuda represents Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's the same letters of God's name with an extra Dalet. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And Aliyah came from Don, Din. So you have the Din and the Rach. It's not mine. This is the Kli Yoker. Okay? I'm sorry it's not mine, but it's the Kli Yoker. So the Mishkan was created with the same two midos, Din and Rachamim. Yehuda and Don. But the idea is that you need both of these midos. And that's why it says that the contributions to the Mishkan were done in 2 days. Baboker, baboker. 2 days. The first day was total giving. And the second day, they said enough. Stop. Right? Things are enough. And that, if you think about it, is the whole idea of mezuzah. The mezuzah is on the border between the public and the private. You come into your house from the public, into your house is the mezuzah. You leave your house into the public thoroughfare, there's the mezuzah. And the mezuzah has two parshios in it. Shema and V'hayim Shamoah. The first parsha of Shema V'yohavta is in the singular. The second one is in the plural. So the mezuzah tells you what should stay in the private, what should stay in the public, what should pass the border. And that's why, what do we write on the outside of the mezuzah? Shakai. Sha'omar li'olam odai. God said enough. Right? There's a limit. There's a place. There's what can expand beyond and what can't expand beyond. Where you keep it private, where you let it go into the public. And that's a tremendous chachma to know how to do that. And that's why it says that with everything, there's always, whatever is a bracha, there's dayo v'hoser. There's enough and there's leftover. You have to know what the enough is and you have to know what the leftover is. What's the extra? What's the main thing? And only when you understand that, right, that's why the people who built these things, it says they were tremendous chacham. They didn't do anything yet. But you know what they were able to do? They were able to understand how much they needed to do their work and how much was too much. They were able to already plan and see how much gold they need, how much silver, how much wool, linen, whatever it was, right? And when they got more than that, they said, that's enough. We don't need any more. It's tremendous chachma. They didn't start building anything yet. They already had everything planned out, how much would be necessary and how much would be more than necessary. It's also the concept of putting everything in its place. And that's why a person is not allowed to daven that more than enough good should go away. But he should know, die, that it is more than enough. I have what I need, and this is more than I need. And then you have to know how to deal with both of those things. The same thing goes with time. A person has to sanctify his time, right? And know what, how much time to put into his private things and how much time to put in the public things. And that's also an important thing. That's why it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first mitzvah was Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying time. And what was the mitzvah? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This is the choice month. The month itself, in a very small, private aspect, perspective. And then Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana. It's the first of all the other months. Now that month has an influence on the other months. So time is for itself. Time is for how it affects how you take that lesson of time out into the public sector and how it influences other things. But there's two aspects. Just like in place, there's the place for the individual and the place for the tzibur. In time also, there's time you need private, time that's public. And the same thing goes with what you do. You have to sanctify what you do. That was the building of the Mishkan. And therefore Shabbos, which precedes the building of the Mishkan, represents all of this. On Shabbos, we don't go out of our place. You don't carry from public to private to public, in order to get a perspective on how to change places properly and how to transport things and what things to transport and what not. Shabbos, we don't do malacha. We don't have creative activity in order to learn how to sanctify the things that we create during the week. And on Shabbos itself is Kedushas Hazman. It's the sanctity of time. So all of those three areas are sanctified on Shabbos. By not doing them, so you get a perspective that before you go back to the regular week and involve yourself in sanctifying place, time, and actions, you're able to get a perspective on them on Shabbos.